So today we're having a class on Bhagavad Gita 8, chapter 16, text number 9. Chapter 16 is called Divine and Demoniac Natures. And I'll read the Sanskrit and the translation. There'll be a couple of videos, and there'll be other things too. Etam drishtim avashtabhya nashtatmano na buddhya pravat yuka karmana shaye jagato hita. Following such conclusions and loss of themselves, the demoniac create horrible, unbeneficial works which are meant to destroy the world. Purport. The demoniac are engaged in activities that will lead the world to destruction. The Lord states here that they are less intelligent. The materialists who have no concept of God think that they are advancing. But according to Bhagavad Gita, they are unintelligent and devoid of all sense. They try to enjoy this material world to the utmost limit and therefore always engage in inventing something for sense gratification. Such materialistic inventions are considered to be the advancement of human civilization. But the result is that people will grow more and more violent and more cruel. Cruel to animals, and cruel to other human beings. They have no idea how to behave toward one another. Animal killing is very prominent among demoniac people. Such people are considered the enemies of the world because they will invent or create something which will bring destruction to all. Indirectly, this verse anticipates the invention of nuclear weapons, which the whole world is today very proud. At any moment, war may take place, and these atomic weapons may create havoc. Such things are created solely for the destruction of the world. And this is indicated here. Due to godlessness, such weapons are invented in human society. They're not meant for the peace and prosperity of the world. So again, the verse, etam drishtim avashtabhya nashtatmano na buddhya. Pravan yuga karmana shaye jagato hita. Following such conclusions, the demoniac are lost to themselves and have no intelligence, engage in unbeneficial, horrible works meant to destroy the world. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutare Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswatam Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskyatya De Satar. This verse is giving us an insight of what this material world is all about. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has mentioned to us that there are two kinds of created beings. Some of them are called divine, and some of them are called asuras, or the demoniac. Krishna has explained to us, the beginning of the 16th chapter, what the qualities of the divine are. And he also explains in the 16th chapter the qualities of the demoniac. One of the major qualities of the demoniac is that they don't believe in God. They believe that the world is unreal. It has no foundation. It has no God in control. It produces sex desire and has no cause other than lust. And as a result of that, they're lost to themselves. One who doesn't know Krishna will not have any experience of one's real self. Krishna may be realized as Brahman or Paramatma or Bhagavan, but if one has no knowledge of Brahman even, what to speak of Paramatma or Bhagavan, then one will have only a material concept of life. And according to Bhagavad Gita, the results of a material conception of life is that one will simply try to enjoy the senses. and engage in mental speculation. The result of that is that one will lose one's spiritual intelligence, and therefore, instead of seeing all living entities as part and parcel of Krishna, and oneself as Krishna's servant, one will try to become the lord of the material nature. And according to the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, those who are trying to be the lords of material nature, Bhayam Dvitiya Abhineshitasya Isharabhitasya Viparyam Smriti, they become fearful when they reverse the role. Instead of trying to become Krishna's servant, they try to become Krishna's master and everyone else's master. And therefore, they become fearful, and their major methodology of influencing others is to create fear in them also. So currently we have something called a pandemic. Now the question is, what are the origins of this pandemic? How did, was it decided that we even had a pandemic? So that's what I'm going to discuss today. I'm not going to discuss the controversies over what viruses are or what vaccines are or any of these other controversies. I'm just going to take one point, which is how they decided that we have a pandemic based upon a test called PCR test, which is a test which was invented, I think around around 1990, sometime around there, maybe a little earlier, and by one scientist who got the Nobel Prize for his invention for chemistry, Gary Mills. And I'll show a little video of Gary Mills, what he thinks about his PCR test being used for diagnosing COVID-19. And we'll also go over how many people actually died this year compared to any other year. Now, here's some interesting quotes from some respectable personalities or unrespectable personalities who have a lot of experience lying. I guess we'll put it on the screen here so everyone could see it. See if we can share the screen here. Oh, do I have permission to share the screen? Kumari Devidasi?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Can you give me permission to share the screen? Wherever.
We can share, Guru Maharaj.
Mataji Kumari, please give to Guru Maharaj this possibility.
Okay, so.
It's already.
Sharing screen. We need.
Guru Maharaj?
Yes.
I'm sorry, but this time I have this on my screen, this COVID-19 on trial.
Yeah, okay. Do you see?
How to see all
that? That's all right, don't worry about it. Good. Now the question is, what part, you're sharing the screen here. Let's go off here. Let's go off here and try and just cancel.
Guru Maharaj, you have to stop, share screen, and then do it again.
Okay.
Ah.
Okay, so now.
Now I have you on the screen and four others. Me and you and two devotees.
Share screen, okay. So now we can go to here and see what this comes up with. Now, what do you see? Quote from
Prabhupada. Quote from Srila Prabhupada.
Okay, so now I'll just read the quotes from Verbal and others. That's not right. Okay. Word. Lies. Okay, so now you'll see lies. You see that? If you want to be wrong, then follow the masses. Everyone can see that?
Yes, Guru Maharaj.
principles of the big lie.
Yes.
If you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The lie can be maintained only for some time, as the state can shield the people from the political, economic, and or military consequences of the lie. It thus becomes virtually vitally important for the state to use all its powers to repress dissent, for the truth is the moral enemy of the lie. And thus, by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state. Attributed to Goebbels. Everyone knows who Goebbels was? You know who Goebbels was, Kapila Muni? Panavijaya, do you know who Goebbels was?
Sorry, Maharaj, I don't understand.
Do you know who Goebbels was? The propagandist, the one head of propaganda for Adolf Hitler?
Ah, yes, yes.
Yeah, so this is his formula for lying. And the lie has, in fact, led us so far away from a normal society that you cannot even orientate yourself any longer. In its dense gray fog, not even one pillar can be seen. Srebrenica, from his famous descent, one who was in Russia, who was a dissident. And this is from President Eisenhower, one of the presidents of America. Yet in holding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become captive of a scientific technological elite. President Eisenhower, 1961 farewell address. Now we have Prabhupada here. This is about medicine. There are many quotes of Srila Prabhupada about medicine. Most of them are in my book, but this is particularly for this particular presentation. Quote from Prabhupada, doctors give medicine and they speak surety, but there is no surety. And when there is no surety, why should we break our four principles? I don't think there is guarantee of surety by taking this medicine with animal products. But if there's surety, you can take. It is very doubtful. When I shall come there, I shall see what is wrong. Translation, this is from Srimad Bhagavatam, plus the purport. As far as transactions with money are concerned, if one person cheats another by a farthing or less, they become enemies. This is called purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is called samsara dhavanala. Even in ordinary transactions between two people, there is inevitably cheating because the conditioned soul is defective in four ways. He's illusioned, he commits mistakes, his knowledge is imperfect, and he has a propensity to cheat. Thus, when he's liberated from material conditioning, these four defects must be there. Consequently, every man has a cheating propensity, which is employed in business or money transactions. Although two friends may be living peacefully together, due to their propensity to cheat, they become enemies when there is a transaction between them. A philosopher accuses an economist of being a cheater, and an economist may accuse a philosopher of being a cheater when he comes in contact with money. In any case, this is the condition of material life. One may profess a high philosophy, but when one is in need of money, he becomes a cheater. In this material world, so-called scientists, philosophers, and economists are nothing but cheaters in one way or another. The scientists are cheaters because they present so many bogus things in the name of science. They propose going to the moon, but actually they end up cheating the entire public of large sums of money for their experiments. They cannot do anything useful. Unless one can find a person transcendental to the four defects, one should not accept advice and become a victim of the material condition. The best process is to take advice and instructions of Sri Krishna or his bona fide representative. In this way, one can be happy in this life and the next. So now we're going to play a video about this pandemic, what the statistics are, according to those who keep statistics, about how bad this pandemic was this year. And it'll be translated. This is COVID-19 one. Can you see it on your screen now?
Ladies and gentlemen of...
Can everyone see that? COVID-19 on trial?
Yes.
The jury. We are witnessing madness. Worse, the perpetrators of this madness continue to stoke the flames. They would have us believe that we face a threat so deadly and dire that our lives can never be the same. They would have us believe that every destructive policy they've enacted has not only been necessary, but that none of these policies have gone far enough. They would have us believe to get back some of what they've taken, we must first give them more of what they want. But is any of it so? I will prove to you that it is not. Let's take a closer look at the threat they have used to seize unprecedented power, destroy economies around the world, and secure trillions of dollars in bailouts. First, we need to address the number that health officials have been throwing around since the beginning of this so-called crisis, the potential death toll of COVID-19. If the current death toll hasn't been exaggerated, we have reason to believe otherwise, and if the current death toll doubles, COVID-19 will kill approximately 1.5 million people around the world. That number sounds very big, and the media has done everything within its power to convince you that it represents a significant threat to your life. The average person on the street can be forgiven for thinking that they, or somebody they love, will drop dead at any minute. Well, let's examine this monster that they've created in the public's mind. Here it is. And without any context, it looks like a vicious pit bull on a 6-foot chain, waiting to maul anyone who gets within its reach. But is it? No, it's not. In fact, cardiovascular disease kills more than 10 times as many people every single year. It truly dwarfs the threat of COVID-19. So, if we aim to keep this dog analogy accurate, we're going to have to change this guy into something more appropriate, like a 5-pound chihuahua. We'll let cardiovascular disease assume the role of a scary 50-pound pit bull. Surely, if the COVID-19 chihuahua is such a threat, then something that's 10 times more deadly should have killed us all by now, right? Well, no. Cardiovascular disease is certainly deadly, but it's nowhere near as deadly as all-cause mortality, which kills nearly 60 million people every year. So, it looks like we've got to turn cardiovascular disease into something less scary, a schnauzer, perhaps. And to represent the 60 million annual deaths, we'll just have to pretend that there's such a thing as a 200-pound pit bull. Surely, if this is deadly enough to shut down the world and create mass hysteria, then this guy should have justified something unimaginably worse, right? But it didn't. So how is it that we all managed to live our lives all these years despite this horrible threat? I'll tell you how. Because this is nowhere near the biggest, baddest, toughest dog on the block. It's more like a cuddly Saint Bernard compared to the real beast that we haven't seen yet. This monster isn't twice as big, or 10 or 20 or 30 times as big. No, the biggest dog on the block is 125 times larger. Imagine, if you can, a 25,000-pound pit bull. This pit bull represents humanity. It represents the living, breathing strength of all the human beings that will not die, regardless of what the worst of these threats can throw at us. To really put this in perspective, let's do some simple math on the blackboard. Prior to COVID-19, when we all lived normal lives, less than 1% of us died each year, 0.007 of the Earth's population. In 2020, with COVID-19, that number hasn't changed. It's still less than 1% of us. It's still 0.007 of the Earth's population. The impact of this pandemic on total annual deaths is so small that you have to move into the fourth decimal place to measure it. Even among the most vulnerable, those above the age of 70, COVID-19 would have to kill 4.5 million, three times the projected death toll, to reduce their survival rate below 99%. Does any of this sound like what you were led to believe? If not, then consider the harsh reality that you were intentionally misled. You were intentionally misled.
Okay, so let's get into what this PCR test is all about. I'll put this on the screen here next. This is a statement released by WHO. WHO is the World Health Organization, December 14th, 2020. PCR tests, what they do is, as most of you probably know, they take a little swab somehow or another. In China, we heard they're taking from places which are unmentionable. And then they subject it to what's called revolutions to increase the perceptibility of what they're looking for. Actually, they don't know quite what they're looking for, because this SARS virus, which is supposed to produce COVID-19. Please mute. Please mute. Because the SARS virus, which is supposed to produce COVID-19, has never really been isolated. So they're not 100% sure what it is. There are two major types of supposed viruses that create flus every year. One of them are the coronaviruses. And the COVID-19 is supposed to be one of those coronaviruses. So there are many viruses, coronaviruses. Matter of fact, there's tens and thousands of identified as retroviruses in practically every human being on this planet. So what they do is they take a little sample and they by the process of PCR testing, they multiply it. If you take one molecule, you can multiply it so in such a way as that you can actually perceive something that's there. Now they take whatever is there, they send it through revolutions. You can imagine 1 × 1 = 2, 2 × 2 = 4, 4 × 4 = 8, 8 × 8 = 16, 32, 64, 128. And if you go on and on, you get into the multiplications of the tens and thousands and millions, the more you multiply. So, in order to detect if there's any kind of coronavirus or any kind of virus that they're looking for, it was recommended that they go through something like 17 and maximum 35 multiplications of this particular sample that they have. 35 was absolutely the maximum. Otherwise, it's Mr. Fauci, who is directing this pandemic in America, the head of the National Institute for Health in America, said, after 35 multiplications of this, whatever the coronavirus sample is, the results become meaningless. As a point of information, the general testing that was done in America and around the world was between 35 and 40 times multiplications or cycles of their testing samples, which means that anything could actually have the coronavirus. As a matter of fact, according to their diagnosis, as a matter of fact, one president of a country in Africa, he sent to a university that was in Africa, in his country, a papaya to be tested for corona, a sample of papaya to be tested for coronavirus. And he also sent a sample of a goat, a swab of a goat, and other things. And both the papaya came out positive for coronavirus, as well as the goat, as a number of other objects came out positive for coronavirus. Here in Slovenia, where I am, some devotees, because they were having this mantra around the world, test, test, test. So they're encouraging everyone to get a test. At first, it was costing 100 euros, but then they were giving it for free. So some devotees went online to get tested for the virus, and they gave their names and whatever, and their address, and their email address, but the line was so long, they left the line and they didn't get tested. But they received in the mail, in spite of the fact that they didn't get tested, that they were positive for coronavirus. So this is a statement, there was a court case in Portugal, because as we'll find out, that the person who got the Nobel Prize for inventing this PCR test, Gary Millis, he in an interview, which we'll hear, said that this PCR test was never meant for diagnosing people with viruses. You can use it to prove anything. So I'll just read this, and then we'll look at this is from written by the WHO, World Health Organization, which is more or less worldwide, is directing the response to this coronavirus pandemic. In a statement released in December 14, 2020, the World Health Organization finally owed up to what hundreds and thousands of doctors and medical professionals have been saying for months. The PCR test used to diagnose COVID-19 is a hit and miss process with way too many false positives. This WHO-admitted problem comes in the wake of international lawsuits exposing the incompetence and malfeasance of public health officials and policymakers' reliance on a diagnostic test not fit for purpose. This World Health Organization admission is the crux of the problem, is that the crux of the problem is a wholly arbitrary cycling process, which means that many cycles are required to detect virus in some circumstances. The distinction between the background noise and actual presence of the target virus is difficult to ascertain. The UN body is now clearly looking to distance itself from fatally flawed tests, as a growing number of lawsuits are processing through the courts, exposing this insanity of relying on a test that even the inventor, Professor Gary B. Millis, said was never designed to diagnose diseases. Professor Millis was awarded the Nobel Prize in Chemistry in 1993. Coincidentally, Millis died just before the pandemic started. We reported on November 22, 2020, that a landmark case in Portugal had ruled that the polymerase chain reaction test PCR was used worldwide to diagnose COVID-19 was not fit for purpose. Most importantly, the judges ruled that a single positive PCR test cannot be used as an effective diagnosis of infection. By the way, these were, we get the figures of in one day, 40,000 people have contacted COVID-19. If you ramp up the number of cycles, everyone practically who takes the test, including a papaya, will come out positive for COVID-19. And if you put it down, then suddenly everyone is free from COVID-19. This is called manipulation. As Off-Guardian Org reported at the time, in their ruling, judges Margarita Ramos de Almeida and Ana Paramesh referred to several scientific studies, most notably the study by Jaffar and company, which follows that when running PCR tests with 35 cycles or more, the accuracy dropped to 3%, meaning that up to 97% of positive results could be false positives. The ruling goes to conclude that based on the science they read, any PCR test using over 25 cycles is totally unreliable. Governments and private labs have been very tight-lipped about the exact number of cycles they run when PCR testing, but is known to be sometimes as high as 45. Even fear-mongering in chief Antonio Fauci has publicly stated that over 35 is totally unusable. So I think we're getting the idea that this huge number of tests are quite unreliable. So here's Gary Millis.
When I was talking to Dr. Leland Stillman, I was mentioning the fact that with even the testing of alleged
tests for determining causation or diagnostic purposes, period.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sister Carrie, how do they misuse PCR to estimate all these supposed free viral RNAs that may or may not be there?
I think misuse PCR is not quite, I don't think you can misuse PCR. Actually. No, the results, the interpretation of it. See, if you can say, if they could find this virus in you at all, and with PCR, if you do it well, you can find almost anything in anybody. It starts making you believe in the sort of Buddhist notion that everything is contained in everything else, right? I mean, because if you can amplify one single molecule up to something that you can really measure, which PCR can do, then there's just very few molecules that you don't have at least one single one of them in your body, okay? So that could be thought of as a misuse of it just to claim that it's meaningful. But the real misuse of it is that you don't need to test for HIV. You don't need to test for the other 10,000 retroviruses that are unnamed also in the subject. See, somebody that's got HIV generally is going to have almost anything that you can test for because they have definitely been, HIV is a fairly rare virus. There's only 1 million of us out of 250, 300 million people in America that have that virus. So you have to get around, either your mother had to have it and pass it to you, or you have to really be paying a lot of attention to people that do have it and paying only attention to them and get a pretty good chance of getting it that way. It's hard to get it, but if you have it, there's a good chance you've also got a lot of other ones because you've been in the market where it's been possible for you to get a lot of, to test for that one and say that has any special meaning is what I think is the problem. Not that PCR has been misused. It's like, it's not an estimation. It's a really quantitative thing. It tells you something about nature and about what's there, but it allows you to take a very minuscule amount of anything and make it measurable and then talk about it in meetings and stuff like it is important. See, that's not a misuse. That's just sort of a misinterpretation.
Because it's never been standardized as compared to an isolated virus. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just inaccurate. That's wrong. It's meaningless.
So that could be thought of as a misuse of it, just to claim that it's meaningful.
Mm-hmm. And so you can't, it's not just inaccurate. That's wrong. It's meaningless. There's a difference.
Yeah.
So, and it says that in the package insert. So why is it so heretical for me to say the test is meaningless when actually the manufacturer of the test agrees with me?
Mm-hmm. So let's just examine with the time we have left some of the other problems with the PCR test. I'm just going to summarize it here. Number one, there could be large-scale test contamination. The testing site or the lab contamination, which has led to countless false positive results. PCR tests can react to other coronaviruses so that according to lab examinations, this happens in about 1 to 3% of cases. If only one target gene is tested, as in the case of many, but not all labs, but as the WHO itself is recommended to avoid ambiguous positive test results. PCR tests can detect non-infectious virus fragments weeks after an active infection or from an infection of a contact person, as the US CDC confirmed. The PCR tests can detect viable virus in quantities too small to be infectious, see below. So again, it points out that after a certain number of cycles, then the results are actually meaningless. And here's another another interesting fact by the CDC. Flu activity is unusually low in the US. Can we keep it going for future years? In a typical year, rising flu case would be dominating the headlines in January, not in 2021. As the world focuses on COVID-19 influenza and other contagious respiratory illnesses caused by a virus seem to have all but disappeared. The millions of cases of influenza suddenly disappeared. I guess they were embarrassed that they were too weak compared to COVID-19, and they decided to take a vacation last year. The flu activity is unusually low for this time of the year. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention said in its weekly U.S. influenza surveillance report. And here's their explanation. The change is not surprising since the flu virus spreads through respiratory droplets similar to the new coronavirus. People are wearing masks, social distancing, and paying attention to hand hygiene to avoid COVID-19, said Dr. Walid Javid, Director of Infectious Prevention and Control at Mount Sinai, downtown in New York. So in spite of the fact that millions and probably billions of people were wearing masks, social distancing, and paying attention to hand hygiene, somehow or another, this virus, COVID-19, was so intelligent, it was able to avoid all of these precautions. Unfortunately for the influenza flus that we get every year, which included the so-called swine flu and the bird flu and so many other flus, they were not just intelligent enough to avoid all these precautions, or therefore they did not infect anyone this year, only supposedly COVID-19. So we're actually not dealing with science, we're dealing with science fiction. And on the basis of that science fiction, we have our present lockdowns, we have our present precautions, we have so many different things that are going on, which we may go into later, which I won't go into now. But actually, the scientific evidence behind what the basic principle of it is flawed, and knowingly flawed, obviously. So I'll stop there. Is there any questions about this?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Okay.
I have a question from Lama na Prabhu. How to become more stable in individual sadhana when there are many factors around that we don't be stable?
I can't hear you. I didn't understand what you said. How to become more stable in sadhana when? When?
When we have many disturbs.
A lot of disturbances. Well, that's, you try. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that for wherever the, that Shinai Shinaru Paramad Bude Drita Grihitaya Atma Samstamana Kritva Na Kinchit Atma Chindaya. That one should try to steady the intelligence wherever the one, actually, let me look that up. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text number 1 should engage oneself in the practice of yoga. Oh, that's not, you know. Gradually, step by step, with full conviction, one should become situated in trance by means of intelligence sustained by full conviction. And thus the mind should be fixed on the self alone and should think of nothing else. For wherever the mind wanders to, due to its flickering, unsteady nature, one should withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So we expect the mind to wander. That's what the whole Bhagavad Gita is about. But our solution is to try to fix it on Krishna. Try to think of Krishna alone and become detached from these other thoughts. If we chant Hare Krishna nicely, like a child calling for its mother, feelingly, and we listen, our minds cannot stop us from doing that. So disturbances are within the mind, but we have intelligence which we can utilize to chant Hare Krishna with feeling and with attention, and then Krishna will appear before us and our minds will become purified and Krishnaized. And then there will be no more disturbance. Anything else? Any other questions? There seems to be a long, there seems to be a couple of questions there. Agnihotra, can you look in the chat? You can translate. Can you see the chat? Hoz bo vadu urovnya. Smetanitsi Bovsyam Mire Vapros Akak Ye or Rome Naye. Can you see that, Agnihotra? Can anyone translate that for me?
Hare Krishna, дорогой Гуру Махарадж, примите мои поклоны, пожалуйста. Я думаю, Агнихотра не слышит сейчас. Видимо, он в дороге, у него пропадает связь.
Well, let me put it up. Let me. What's the translation?
Хорошо.
Есть.
Can you translate this? A cock gay?
Меня слышно? Or... You can hear me, Mukesh.
What's that? Agnihotra, can you hear me? Unmute yourself.
Yes.
So, can you translate what's in the chat? Yes. The question.
Maybe, should I try? Maybe I.
Yes, the next question from Mati Indoreka from Zoroastrianism. The grace of advanced I have developed the taste for the standard ocean. I don't call it acquisition of the watches who can learn the correct me.
I can't understand anything you're saying, Agnihotra. Can anyone translate it? Lilavati, can you translate your question? Lilavati.
Как это сделать? Я не могу перевести на английский язык, простите, пожалуйста. Может быть, кто-то...
Anyhow, it's all right.
Does Antaryami Prabhu know how to speak Russian and English?
Mm-hmm. Antaryami?
Yes, I can, dear Gurudeva. Mataji Lilavati asks, dear Guru Maharaj, please accept my obeisances, and should we release this information, spread this information in internet or through the people which you give us today? In internet, I met very often the same information about prospective masks and any other things. And what we should do, actually, should we go against from system or not?
Well, we're not going against the system. The system says that the PCR test is flawed. The person who invented it said it's not used, it shouldn't be used for diagnostics of a disease. So we're just repeating what the scientists are saying. We're not saying anything different. So I don't think what we're saying is controversial at all. Some of the things I may have said are controversial, but certainly not about the PCR test. That's already been proven in court to be wrong. And even the scientists say it shouldn't be used for more than a certain number of cycles, but it was being used for many, many more cycles than it was prescribed. So I'd be cautious. I wouldn't put it on forum, this information. I wouldn't give it to people who are just going to argue about it, no matter. But I would give it, certainly distribute it to people who are receptive, who have, you know, who would like to find out, who are open to at least the information given by our own scientists, our own World Health Organization, and in America from the Center for Disease Control. Although I don't think neither the World Health Organization nor the Center for Disease Control would be very happy about this particular lecture, but I'm using their own information for presenting it. Does that answer your question? So be cautious. We don't want to create unnecessary controversy, but we don't want to be foolish either, because many, many people are being hurt by this particular pandemic. And it may not be having some knowledge and information may be helpful for some people. Yes, Antaryami. I can't hear you.
Дорогой, ты говоришь, что мы не должны сражаться, но, по крайней мере, мы должны иметь объективный взгляд свой на то, что как происходит вообще все вокруг, как это устроено, для того, чтобы иметь ясное мышление, не бояться. И, может быть, даже когда-то в каких-то конфиденциальных случаях, когда к нам прислушивается кто-то, мы можем кому-то помочь, успокоив его и забрав его страх, усилив него.
А вам не слышно переводчика?
There's a question here about the death rate worldwide. The question is, what about the huge number of deaths in Italy last year? Did not affect the global mortality rate? Question from Jai Shri. I didn't know that there was a huge number of deaths. There was a huge number of people supposedly got COVID-19. In Italy, according to the diagnostic test. But most, 97 or 90, even more percent of those people died were people on the average age between around 82 years old. The same people who die every year in Italy due to influenza and other diseases died this year. So there wasn't a great increase. As far as other, you know, smaller increases, in America, for instance, anyone who died of any disease in some parts of America got designated as died from COVID-19. They may have died with COVID-19. They didn't know. It wasn't necessary. Even one person was shot in the head, and on his death certificate, it was ruled that he died from COVID-19. People died in motorcycle accidents. So how much there was really an increase in deaths last year? I mean, there was an increase of deaths. Some of them were caused by the fact that more people committed suicide. More people got depressed, went into psychiatric treatment. There are more separations and divorces. People lost jobs. They estimate 35% of the people in America will lose their jobs eventually or very shortly. So in every percentage of people in America, they've done studies, they lose their job, 35,000 people die. So yes, this deadly disease called COVID-19 is not the only factor, but the deaths from COVID-19 seems to have been inflated for one reason or another. But again, in Italy, most of the people who died in the old age homes, who were quite old and were expected to die anyhow. The amazing thing is when, anyhow, I won't get into the other factors, right?